way. Romaro scowled. You have done this before. Faced me before. Lived this moment before. He stared intently at Cole. When? How? Cole tried unsuccessfully not to think about it. A hypothetical future, Romaro said. You had time to prepare for our present encounter. He turned to the wayport. And this is all suspiciously convenient. Romaro stared intently at Lorenzo, then at Cole, then at Violet. Her too, Romaro said. What? Cole asked. Trillian, Romaro said, his voice very calm. Your memories are not genuine, Cole. Would you like the real ones back? Suddenly, Cole remembered the whole plan. The pilgrim path would leave Romaro powerless if he walked it. Trillian had planted other thoughts to trick Romaro. Oh no, Cole said, realizing their best chance had been thwarted. Want your memories, Lorenzo? Romaro asked. Violet, you may as well join us in reality. Can we revisit the opportunity to surrender? I will offer each of you who kneel to me prominent positions in my service. None of us will kneel, Cole said. One of the guards from the iron fort dropped to one knee. He's not really with us, Cole clarified. You cannot stand against me, Romaro said. It is a challenge to adequately express your doom. You are little more than figments of my imagination. If you're so powerful, bring back Twitch, Cole said. In their hypothetical encounter, Romaro had retrieved Jason Mira from where the perennial serpent had sent them. He wondered if Romaro could track down his friend who had been lost for a longer time. It would be a simple matter of tracing the history of Elegance's power, Romaro said. He stared at Elegance for a moment. Jenna stepped up beside Cole and whispered, I need extra power. Cole funneled a larger share of energy into her. He could feel her using what he sent, so he pushed harder. Twitch appeared a few paces in front of Cole. His clothes were dirtier than when Cole had last seen him. He looked bewildered until he met eyes with Cole. I'm back, Twitch said. There is little I cannot do, Romaro said. I could kill him quicker than you can blink. Oh, no, Twitch muttered. Is that... Romaro, Cole supplied. Do not be confused, Romaro said. This is not really a fight. I could destroy everyone here more easily than taking a step. Your battle against me ended the moment I got free. Why not destroy us? Cole asked. Destroying this world would be satisfying, Romaro said. Ruling it will be more interesting. You are currently alive because I would prefer interesting subjects to dull ones. But my rule will be absolute. All who will not serve me must perish. Dandelus appeared beside Violet, not far from Cole, looking almost alive, his form only slightly transparent. I wondered if I would live to see this day, Dandelus said. You didn't, Romaro replied. And yet, here I am, Dandelus said. An echo, Romaro said. I am glad you are here to witness this. Dandelus held up both hands toward Romaro, then leaned down and whispered something to Violet. Cole made sure she had plenty of power. Secrets are impolite, Romaro said, an edge of impatience in his voice. Listening in is even less polite, Dandelus said, walking over to Cole. He leaned close and whispered, Go through the wayport Violet opens. Trust me, you must get away. I grow impatient, Romaro warned. Don't tempt me, Dandelus, or I will place your echo into a nightmare stasis where... Try it, Dandelus said. A wayport opened in front of Cole.
Go, Cole,
Dandelus urged. Romaro reached toward Cole, and sparks erupted in the air, spreading out across the surface of an invisible wall. Dandelus grunted and trembled.
Go!
Don't you dare,
Romaro began. Cole heard no more, because he sprang forward through the wayport. Chapter 33 Cole stood in the deserted courtyard of a castle. He knew this courtyard. He knew this castle.
"Survive the trial to obtain the reward,"
an enormous voice declared, emanating from the castle itself. The wayport closed behind him. All his connections to the others were cut. He had been feeding power so steadily to so many people that the loss felt incredibly abrupt. What would they do without him? He had just stranded most of his favorite people with an angry Torvor. And now he stood alone, drifting on a sentient sky castle, with the eastern cloud wall looming not too far away. He had no way off the castle unless a skycraft happened by, or unless Violet or another Wayminder chose to visit. He hoped Dandelus had a plan. Statues great and small began to emerge from the walls of the courtyard. Some surfaced out of the ground. All converged toward him. Reaching out, Cole could feel them. Drawing on his power with an effort of will, he blasted the nearest figures into gravel.
Stop, Cole ordered. I'm Cole. This castle was made for me.
The statues came to a halt. All signs of animation departed.
I haven't been here before, Cole continued. I went to one just like it.
I guess these castles keep appearing. Perhaps 10 paces away, Romaro materialized.
Peculiar destination, the Torvor said.
Why flee here?
This exhibition of derelict castles did not exist when I first came to the outskirts. I've heard of it since. Never visited. Did Dandelus think you would escape me here? Did he expect me to follow? It makes sense for us to converse alone.
Does it? Cole asked.
You could save your friends, Romaro said.
They follow your lead. If you ask them to die, they will.
To what end? I will govern the outskirts with or without your help.
If you live, you can advocate on behalf of those I rule. Dead, you can do nothing. This is your last chance. No more stalling. No place left to run. You can order your friends to die, or you can spare them. It all depends on you.
I won't kill them, Cole said.
You will.
Romaro shrugged.
You could stop it, or not. I am losing interest.
I'm never going to serve you, Cole said.
Neither will they.
That keeps it simple, Romaro said.
Should I just let you drift to oblivion on this castle? I can keep an eye on it, make sure nobody comes or goes. Would you prefer the suspense of a few more minutes? The illusion of hope? Or how about a clean death? Quick and painless. Perhaps I could lock you in the void. I escaped it, you would not. Should I store you there? Let you hover in an endless stasis as your sanity unravels across the eons?
Cole looked at the motionless statues spaced around the courtyard. Some had frozen while still separating from the ground or the walls.
Don't be a fool, Romaro said.
Get him! Cole shouted.
In unison, the stone figures charged Romaro. More issued from the walls and ground. Bearded warriors raced alongside graceful ballerinas. Cole recognized several of them from his previous visit to the similar sky castle. Romaro waved a casual hand at the nearest statues. They wobbled, but kept coming. He held a hand up as if commanding them to halt. Those directly before him slowed. The others continued toward him at their normal pace. A statue of Dandelus rose up from the ground beside Cole.
This is your battleground, Cole. The statue said hurriedly, his voice low. This is the one place you might defeat the Torvor.
The elements of this island were designed to resist his commands and to follow yours. The island will try to hold him here. It's no sure thing, but perhaps it gives you a chance. Do not let him escape. If you don't win here, you will fail.
Romaro was now engaging the statues in physical combat. With fluid grace, he moved as if the fight had been choreographed to showcase his excellence. He dodged every attack, disarming opponents and then using their weapons against them. Ruthlessly efficient, he moved much quicker than an ordinary mortal could have managed. With each statue dodged, shoved aside, or destroyed, Romaro worked his way toward Cole.
"Contain him!" the Daedalus statue cried. "Protect Cole! The enemy is in our midst!"
Walls shot up around Romaro, shielding him from view. A large slab of stone erupted from the ground and landed atop the walls, forming the top of a huge stone box.
"Was this your plan?" Romaro asked, the words searing into Cole's mind. "Lure me into one last trap? None of his traps ever killed me, Cole, and his prisons all failed to hold me. This pathetic trick planned from beyond his grave will soon crumble. If I lay still, nothing here could begin to hurt me. I see that everything here was designed to attack and resist me, and it will, until I retune it, until I create it anew. Get ready, Cole. You're about to learn what happens when you choose the wrong allies."
The front of the stone box exploded outward. Several stone fragments whistling toward Cole turned to dust before reaching him. Romaro raced from the box, hurling statues aside. More walls sprang up around him, trapping him in another stone box, but it only held for a moment before all the walls exploded outward. Once again, the debris streaking toward Cole evaporated. Slamming statues out of his way, Romaro charged forward. Cole was backing up, but Romaro would soon reach him. Reaching out with his power, Cole grabbed the statues surrounding Romaro and thrust them at him from all directions. Many of the statues shattered as they collided with Romaro and crashed into one another. The brutal impact made the Torvor stagger.
"Maximum effort!"
the Daedalus statue called. The ground shifted beneath Cole as the entire castle accelerated toward the eastern cloud wall. Statues emerged from the walls and ground more rapidly. Other statues merged to form larger ones. Soon none were smaller than Romaro. Many were bigger, and they were fast, almost as fast as him. As Cole kept backing away, he realized that if the castle had attacked him and his friends like this, they would not have lasted more than a few seconds. But though Romaro was fighting harder, he showed no vulnerability. The occasional weapon that struck him broke apart, and he continued to destroy or dodge statues, despite the increased tempo of the brawl.
"You will pay for this," Romaro vowed directly to Cole's mind. "No clean death for you. I will wring agony from you for ages."
Cole took some consolation from the threats. Romaro was struggling. Though scary, the threats were also evidence of frustration. Cole bashed more statues together around Romaro. The material of the statues felt eager to comply. Those statues shattered by the impact promptly reformed and kept attacking. Romaro was slowed by the press, and Cole continued to retreat. The cloud wall filled the sky ahead of the castle, approaching rapidly. As he considered the increased pace of the sky castle, Cole realized the plan. The vortex within the cloud wall.
"Vortex?"
The word penetrated his thoughts.
"What vortex?"
Cole tried not to think of the gigantic vortex behind the cloud wall, and so of course he pictured it vividly. Peering into the whirling maelstrom was like gazing down into a tornado with a mouth as wide as a football stadium. He remembered how the howling experience inside the slipstream in the Echolands had reminded him of the violent funnel. Like a cosmic drain, the vortex devoured the endless parade of sky castles flowing into it. Maybe it could devour a Torvor.
"How exactly is the vortex like the slipstream?" Romaro asked.
Cole had fallen into the vortex, and he had fallen into a slipstream. In the vortex, he had his physical body. In the slipstream, he was an echo. Still, they sounded similar, felt similar. The silvery material inside seemed somewhere between a liquid and a gas. Cole could remember it rushing around him. The home song had been loud and clear in the slipstream, almost irresistible. Had he heard it in the vortex? Not that he recalled. Cole tried to think about flamingos. He pictured Dalton cannonballing into a swimming pool. He envisioned a guy playing the piano. He tried not to think about vortexes and slipstreams. He kept failing.
"Let's take this fight elsewhere,"
Romaro spoke to his mind. Nothing changed. Statues kept attacking Romaro.
"Yes," Romaro thought. "I see. It is difficult to open a wayport here. Even for me. The intent is to hold me here. You are wrong about the vortex. Wrong about this castle. Nothing in this flimsy realm can contain me."
"That prison in the Echo Lands held for a long time," Cole muttered. Romaro roared. Damaged statues went flying. Cole heaved a flood of statues at Romaro from one direction, forcing him back into one side. Though fighting hard against the tide of stone figures, Romaro was losing ground. More statues emerged. Cole kept hurling them.
"I prefer to fight on my own terms," Romaro conveyed harshly.
Leaping high into the air, Romaro transformed into a huge eagle and began flying upward. Atop the castle and the surrounding walls, statues slung stones, launched arrows, and hurled javelins. The eagle swerved adroitly. The few projectiles that connected did no visible damage. Romaro gained altitude. He was escaping. Cole focused on one of the largest statues, a thick-limbed giant with enormous hands. Cole connected with his power and hastily levitated the giant toward the eagle. The giant caught up, but the eagle expertly steered away from the outstretched hands again and again. Then the eagle seemed to smack against an invisible ceiling. After losing some altitude, the eagle rose again, only to bump once more against an unseen barrier. After the second impact, Cole guided the giant close, and it got a hold of a wing. Cole let the giant fall. The eagle came with it. As the statue and the eagle plummeted, the bird transformed into the robed albino. The impact with the ground blasted the statue to pieces, but Romaro arose unruffled. Cole wondered if anything could harm him.
"I chose an incredibly durable form," Romaro spoke to his mind.
As other statues converged on Romaro, Cole focused on one of the towers of the castle. Connecting to it, Cole hurled it down at Romaro. The avalanche of beams and stone blocks arrived even as statues swarmed the Torvor. Billowing dust plumes gusted outward from the tumultuous rubble. Cole connected to as much of the island as he could mentally embrace and heaved it toward the cloud wall. The pace only increased slightly. Battered blocks of stone shifted, and Romaro climbed from the wreckage. Statues continued to attack him. Vehement words entered Cole's mind like a physical blow.
"You will not hold me here!"
Romaro pointed at Cole and connected to him. Suddenly, Cole was submerged in the vast ocean of Romaro's power. He could not feel or hear or see. He could barely think. The power was all around him, trying to force a way into him. With all of his might, he held it off. What could he do now? He had not sought this connection and had no idea how to break it. He had reached out to connect to others on many occasions. This time, Romaro was holding him. Holding him. Although overwhelming power enveloped Cole, the aggressive power sustaining the connection came from a specific source. Cole desperately focused all of his attention in that direction, and the connection from Romaro began to feel like a lifeline in a storm-tossed sea. As power surged around him, Cole clung to the connection and traced it back to a blazing nexus. There was no time for planning. Cole attacked the nexus, determined to rend it apart. The effort proved too great, like trying to pick up an ocean liner while swimming beside it. He began trying to crush it, but the surface felt too dense, as if he were trying to pummel his way into a bank vault with his fists. Romaro's power closed in around him, constricting, intensifying. Cole knew that no matter how fiercely he resisted, it would soon overwhelm him. He would be consumed. Romaro would escape. His friends would die.
the world would perish. But it had not happened yet. This was his only chance. Ignoring the hostile power encroaching from every side, Cole stopped trying to damage the Nexus and instead reached into it. The effort was excruciating, but as he pushed with all he had, he felt beneath the surface. Having established that contact, Cole drew upon his hopes, his fears, and his ardent desire to survive and hit the Nexus with everything he had, tearing and shredding with the frantic energy of desperation. Explosive shockwaves quaked through the power around him. Sharpening his focus like a blade, like a drill, Cole reached deeper into the damaged Nexus and savaged it again. Everything around him roared in agony. The power suddenly withdrew. Cole stood again in the courtyard, his faculties restored. Down on one knee, head bowed, Romaro clutched his chest. Then he looked up, fury in his gaze.
"Impossible!"
The words struck Cole's mind like an explosion.
"Come get more!" Cole yelled, though he could hardly stand.
Fog washed over Cole and Romaro as the castle entered the cloud wall. The ground lurched, and the speed of the forward motion increased. Cole fell onto his side. He could no longer see Romaro.
"You will die too,"
Romaro conveyed.
"I don't care,"
Cole cried.
"Dandelus sent you to your death,"
Romaro said.
"At least he gave me a chance to die bravely," Cole yelled.
Romaro connected to Cole again. Power washed over Cole, but he immediately followed the connection to the Nexus, drove inward, and hit it with everything he had. Romaro's power recoiled from Cole. The connection broke. Thick mist gushed across the courtyard as the castle bucked and plunged. Cole sailed into the air as the ground fell away, then smashed against it when it returned.
"I'm leaving,"
Romaro declared.
"This construct cannot resist my full concentration. Die alone."
Romaro ducked his head and clenched his fists. The statue of Dandelus cried out,
"Can't hold him!"
Romaro was about to open a wayport, or just teleport. He was using his power to dismantle the trap holding him here. At any moment, he would vanish. Cole balled his hands into fists. Romaro was right. No trap Dandelus had fashioned had ever managed to destroy him. But this time was different. Romaro was not alone in this trap. Cole reached out to Romaro's power. Connecting to that ocean of shaping prowess, Cole searched the vastness for the blazing Nexus he had touched twice before. The area was staggering, but Cole remembered what the Nexus had felt like, and as he stretched out with his mental faculties, he caught traces, hints, and followed them, until he found it. Bracing himself as if he were about to use his bare hands to scoop hot coals from a fire, Cole reached deep into the Nexus and started twisting and kneading and ripping. Fireworks erupted in his mind, but he held on and kept tearing. At last he could take no more, and the connection broke. Romaro lay sprawled on his face. The Torvor looked up, head swaying unsteadily.
"How dare you?"
"One more?" Cole yelled.
"This will not destroy me,"
Romaro warned.
"You will pay. This whole world will pay."
"You're wrong,"
Cole yelled.
"Even if this leads to the slipstream, I will be fine," Romaro conveyed. "You survived it. I saw it in your memories. I will escape without a problem."
"Are you sure?"
Cole asked.
"I belong in time."
Great fissures opened in the ground. Sections of the walls collapsed and portions of the castle came down as well. The stones that bounced near Cole kept turning to dust. Several chunks of masonry pummeled the Torvor. For the first time, Romaro looked afraid. Suddenly Cole stood on a dark field of volcanic rock. Rivers of lava flowed on either side of him, the searing heat almost too much to bear.
The tops of mountains exploded in the distance as lava fountained into a sky saturated with ash.
"We need to talk, Cole," Romaro said.
"This seems like a nice place," Cole said.
"I am not in a pleasant mood," Romaro said. "We have all the time I need. You would be astonished by how long I can make a second last."
"And at the end of it, you'll die," Cole said.
"Debatable," Romaro said. "I can make you suffer."
Pyroclastic explosions erupted around Cole. Lava splashed dangerously close. As the dazzling glare faded and the blistering heat subsided, Cole found he was encased to the waist in warm black stone.
"I can torture you to death in a million ways, Cole," Romaro said. "Across a billion landscapes, how long before you break?"
Cole sensed power radiating from Romaro and realized the Torvor was still trying to get free. He was buying himself time with this conversation. Once again, Cole reached for Romaro with his mind and found the increasingly familiar location of the Torvor's nexus with little trouble. Penetrating the nexus first, then mangling with all his might, Cole fell out of the dream state. Volcanic rock gave way to the courtyard of the quaking, crumbling castle. Romaro finally looked desperate.
"You have rattled me," he confessed, weariness behind the words. "Ludicrous as it seems, you're right. I cannot escape with you harassing me. I don't have time. You don't know what you are destroying. You can't begin to imagine all I am. Spare me, Cole."
"So you can torture me to death in a million ways?" Cole yelled. "So you can destroy my friends? No way." The ground was heaving. Romaro stretched a hand toward him.
"Stop fighting me. Work with me, Cole, and we can both still survive. I don't want to risk ending. I will grant whatever you desire."
"Dream on," Cole cried. The courtyard tipped forward and split apart. Everything was falling. Cole plunged through the mist in a hailstorm of shattered stone, and then all the stone became dust, and the mist parted, and the maelstrom yawned below him, a wild vortex that whirled down toward forever. Off to one side, Cole saw Romaro falling, arms and legs flailing.
"Unbelievable!"
Romaro cried. They hit the swirling surface of the vortex simultaneously, perhaps 20 yards apart. Cole tumbled and spun in the hurricane currents, a banshee choir wailing in his ears. He remembered this experience. It was horrifying and familiar. Somewhere behind all the commotion, Cole could faintly hear the home song. As he focused on that beckoning music, the tumult seemed to fade. It was all right. He could go. He could die this way. He had stopped Romaro. It had seemed impossible, but he had stopped him. Cole finally understood the sky castles. The whole setup had been a trap all along. A trap set in case the Torvors got free. Dandelus had prepared a battleground that had given Cole a chance. Cole had made the most of the opportunity. He had fought to keep Romaro at the doomed castle, and he had won. He had succeeded. Now it was up to the vortex. Would it be enough? Trillian had seen the slipstream in Cole's memory. He had told Cole that he could not have resisted the home song, and Torvors could not lie. Romaro would perish. The home song seemed to promise it. Cole had saved his friends. He would miss everyone. They would miss him. He was sure they would be proud of him. He would follow the home song. It would lead him to a good place, a better place than he had ever known, he was certain. He could feel it so clearly. Something wrapped around his chest, yanking tight. He was suddenly hauled free from the screaming currents. A young man on a flying disc was holding a golden rope. The rope had wrapped around Cole's chest. The young man was Liam. That couldn't be right. Cole's vision was fading. Liam was long gone. Cole realized he must be dreaming. And then darkness engulfed him. Chapter 34. Recovery. Cole woke up on a soft bed in an elegantly furnished room. Veins of gray streaked the white marble walls and ceiling. He turned to find Mira seated on a nearby chair, gazing at him tenderly.
"Are we dead?"
Cole asked, his throat dry.
"Nope,"
Mira said.
"Did we get him?"
"You got him."
Cole thought hard.
"We fell into the vortex."
"Liam fished you out,"
Mira said. Cole propped himself up on one elbow. His body felt stiff.
"I remember Liam. I didn't think that could be real. Why was Liam there? We haven't seen him since we fought Karnak."
"The Echo of Dandelus sent for him through Jenna. That must have happened before I went to get her."
"Yes, she contacted the Unseen in Necronum, who got a message to Liam in hiding. He came here and waited for you. I guess Dandelus expected the fight to end up here."
"Where are we?"
Cole asked.
"Inside the castle behind the cloud wall," Mira said. "You know, where Declan lived before he was chased away. It was abandoned until we arrived."
"How did you get here?" Cole asked.
"Lorenzo opened a wayport to here for me, Jace, Twitch, Dalton, Jenna, Hunter, and Violet, right after Romaro followed you to the Sky Castle. Jace lent Liam the golden rope."
"It didn't need my power to work here," Cole said. "Zambria."
"I've been practicing with my powers since we arrived," Mira said.
"Did you make any walking mud balls?"
Mira broke eye contact.
"Maybe."
"How long was I out?"
3 days.
Cole nodded. His mouth felt dry and tasted funny.
"Do you have water?"
She handed him a glass. He took a small sip of the lukewarm fluid. The lining of his mouth seemed to absorb half of it before he could swallow. He took another sip.
"Is your power all right?"
Mira asked. Cole searched inside himself, and his power felt okay but a little unsteady. Cole connected to Mira's power and gave her some energy. She sat up straighter.
"Good!"
"My power felt injured in the fight," Cole said.
"Still kind of does. At least it still works. More strained than torn.
Romaro came after me with his power. Since he was reaching for me, I found my way to his center and heard him back."
"You're sure the vortex got him?"
"Liam seemed sure,"
Mira said.
"He saw him descending round and round, deeper and deeper. Romaro wasn't fighting. He just drifted with the flow. Liam watched until he disappeared. We haven't heard from Romaro since."
Cole thought for a moment.
"You guys can't leave here."
"Not without you. Unless we're ready for a really long walk. Violet can only open a wayport here with my help."
"You were betting on me to survive."
"We bet right," Mira said. "I should get the others."
She hurried away. Before long, Dalton raced into the room.
"I knew it!"
he cried, running to give Cole a hug. Cole winced as he hugged back, shoulders aching. He felt a little fragile.
"I knew you would be all right. How is your power?"
"Working," Cole said.
"That is a lot more than Romaro can say,"
Jace said as he entered with Twitch.
"You realize you're a legend now."
Violet, Mira, and Jenna came next, and Hunter and Liam entered last. Cole became the center of smiling attention. He could see they had been worried and were now relieved.
Thanks for sending Liam, Cole told Jenna. His eyes shifted to Liam. Thanks for coming to my rescue.
Least I could do after you saved all of us, Liam said. It's a little hard to believe when you get a message from one of the long-dead founders of your world.
I know the feeling, Cole said.
I guess you do, Liam said. Thank Jace, too. Without that golden rope, it would have been dodgy.
Thanks, Jace, Cole said.
Don't you dare thank me, Jace said. Not after what you did. You took Romaro in a straight fight. All I can do now is thank you forever.
The battleground was rigged, Cole said. The Sky Castle was set to respond to my abilities and not to his. He tried to figure out how to escape. I did my best to get in the way.
You fought him, Jace said.
Alone. Dandelus told us where he sent you after Romaro disappeared. He told us all he could give you was a chance.
And you did it, Cole, Dalton said.
I fought him hard, Cole said. Threw statues at him, threw the castle at him. I even got to his nexus with my power and hurt him.
And don't forget that you defeated the perennial serpent in seconds, Mira said, like it was nothing. Elegance has her power back.
I had practice, Cole said. Once I knew what to do, that one was easy.
And you destroyed Owendell, Hunter said. You made that look easy, too.
It kind of was, Cole said. He wasn't too scary. I knew I could take him with my power. The jumping sword was just an experiment.
Style points for the sword, Jace said.
What do you mean you had practice? Jenna asked.
Cole explained about the potion that had given him a look at the possible future. He also explained why he mostly kept that information to himself before fighting Romaro, since the Torvor might have read it in other minds.
So, from your perspective, you fought Romaro twice, Twitch said. Brave.
The first time was a mess, Cole said. The second time went better. At least I wasn't lost in some forgotten wilderness. We were so worried about you.
I may never know exactly where I was, Twitch said. Forested hills, with mountains in the distance, a wet region, lots of ponds and streams. I didn't see another person the entire time. Lots of animals, though. Foraging wasn't too bad. Berries and mushrooms, especially. I also caught plenty of fish. I was actually roasting a couple of trout over a fire when I was transported to the battleground with Romaro.
Sorry, Cole said. I know it was dangerous to pull you into that fight.
Don't be sorry, Twitch said. It was startling, but it worked beautifully. Here I am.
I bet your fish burned, though, Jace said. Twitch laughed. I might have spent the rest of my days roaming a solitary wilderness.
I wish I could offer a feast, Liam said. You all deserve a feast, but the stores were looted by the soldiers who flushed us out of here.
My mother will provide a feast, Mira said. All we need is a wayport to the first castle. I'm sure she went home after Romaro fell. She'll be trying to set the kingdom in order.
Cole stared at his friends. Worlds were colliding before him, his older brother, friends from back home, and friends made as he adventured in the outskirts. Because of his preparations to fight Romaro, Cole hadn't been able to really appreciate having everybody together until this moment. Cole connected to Violet and energized her ability.
Let's get out of here, he said.
A wayport opened.
I've got him, Hunter said, nodding toward Cole.
The others started filing into the wayport. Liam moved off to one side.
I won't join you. I need to get back to Declan, and Junction is the wrong direction. Eat something delicious for me, will you?
Violet could send you home by wayport from Junction, Cole said. Liam paused.
I couldn't have her send me directly to our new hideout, but she could send me kind of close, and it would save time overall.
He smiled.
Looks like I'm going to get a better dinner than I had planned.
Hunter helped Cole out of bed. His knees felt sore, and his legs were wobbly. Hunter kept an arm around Cole's shoulders.
You proved me wrong, Hunter said.
I was really worried, but you saved everybody, and you found a way home.
Now we just have to track down the other kids, Cole said.
I bet Queen Harmony will help, Hunter said. Hopefully Violet will too. Cole walked unsteadily to the wayport.
How long do you think it will take before we get to walk the pilgrim path?
We'll know before long, Hunter said.
Chapter 35. Departure.
It took 3 weeks before Cole and Hunter stood in Creon staring at the gaping tunnel of the pilgrim path. They were not alone. Under edict from the High Queen, the slaver Ansel had handed over the locations of all the slaves. It might have taken months to collect them under ordinary circumstances, but with Cole empowering Violet, they retrieved every last child within 15 days. All of the missing kids from Cole's neighborhood stood gathered near the pilgrim path, along with Dalton, Jenna, and Joe, whose leg had mostly healed. Little Brady, who had once created his own nightmare playland inside Sambria, stayed beside Joe. Blake, Sarah, and Jill lingered near Jenna. The High Queen was present as well. When Harmony went to retrieve her husband, she learned he had died the same hour Elegance got her power back. Honor had seemed openly glad about the news. The other princesses had acted torn between sadness and relief. Watching their reactions had reminded Cole that though Stafford had forced them into exile and made their lives difficult, he had been their father. Destiny had wept openly, occasionally muttering good riddance. Cole could understand the mixed feelings. Stafford had once been likable. Cole believed the High King initially had good intentions. His relationship with Owendell probably had begun innocently, but the relationship had gotten all twisted, and his choices took darker and darker turns until Stafford eventually ruined himself and his family. There was plenty of reason to grieve. All 5 sisters were in attendance today. Elegance had an arm around Brogan. Desmond attended Honor. Mira stood near Cole. Constance and Destiny held hands. Jace was there as well, and Twitch and Violet. Lorenzo de Bray approached Cole.
All is ready, he said. Let me remind you that there is no way back from this path if you walk it. Though almost anyone on Earth could be brought to the outskirts, there is no known way to retrieve any of you who take this path. You will become permanently out of sync with this realm. You will completely lose your powers, and I suspect your memories of the outskirts will eventually fade.
You think we'll totally forget? Cole asked. The prospect seemed ludicrous. How could he ever forget nearly dying, visiting the afterlife, saving lives and being saved?
Consider your own investigation, Lorenzo said. The greatest wayminder of all time, who lived more years in the outskirts than any other person, lost all sense that it really happened. You have been here for months, not years. You have confronted some very adult problems, but you are young and still growing. I believe the day will come when you will not realize any of this happened.
Cole looked at Mira, Jace, Twitch, and Violet. How could he forget them? They had survived so much together. They were his closest friends. If anything seemed far away, it was his home in Mesa. The outskirts were present and tangible. He resolved not to forget.
You don't have to go, Mira said. You could stay with us. We're all going to miss you, and not just for your unique powers.
I have to go home, Cole said. Mira nodded.
I understand. It has been your goal all along.
She raised her voice.
None of you need depart if you would rather stay. Your abilities could be of great use here. I will personally ensure that you will have comfortable housing and a job. With my mother's decree to end slavery, we are becoming a much more civilized place to live.
Nobody accepted her offer. Cole smiled. When Harmony had asked how she could reward him,
He'd only ask for an end to slavery, followed by help retrieving his friends. She admitted her own conscience had wanted to end the practice for years and promised to dedicate herself to making it happen. Jace shook Cole's hand.
You might forget me, but I won't forget you.
Cole hugged his friend. Keep an eye on Mira. Jace winked.
Count on it.
Jace moved on to talk to Dalton. Twitch came forward and hugged Cole.
Have fun in your mud baths, Cole said.
I don't think I'll be in there so much anymore, Twitch said. It was a place to hide.
Take care of the half-knight, Cole said.
Thanks for everything,
Twitch said.
Violet shook Cole's hand.
Good job, Cole.
Same to you, Cole said. Thanks for taking us everywhere.
Thanks for making it possible,
Violet said. Mira hugged Cole swiftly. After the hug, he stared at her. Was he really leaving her? Take care of the kingdoms.
Especially Sambria, Mira said. I plan to go train with Declan soon.
Say hi to Liam, Cole said.
I can never thank you enough, Mira said. You know that. Without you, we would have been lost. You didn't just save me, you saved my sisters, my mother, my whole world. For a long time, it didn't seem possible.
We all work together, Cole said. Keep an eye on Jace. Mira winked.
Have a wonderful life.
The High Queen stood before the entrance to the Pilgrim Path and raised her voice.
On behalf of the people of Junction and the citizens of the Five Kingdoms, I apologize that you were taken from your homes, and I thank you for helping to save our world. We will forever owe Cole, Dalton, Brady, Joe, Blake, Hunter, Jenna, and all of you our deepest gratitude. May you travel home safely.
She stepped aside. It was time to go.
Me first!
Blake called, charging down the tunnel. The rest of the kids chased after him, most of them running. Before long, only Cole, Hunter, and Dalton remained.
Ready, little brother? Hunter asked.
I guess so,
Cole said. He looked back at Mira, Twitch, Jace, and Violet. If Cole was going to leave, it was time. He had done all he could for the outskirts. Over the past 3 weeks, he had burned away the darkness from the powers of more than 500 shapecrafters. Having their shapecrafted powers healed was the price the High Queen set for amnesty for those who had sided with Owendell. Many took her up on the offer. Hunter led the way, then Dalton. Cole stepped into the tunnel last.
Die bravely, Jace called. But not too soon.
Tears stung Cole's eyes as he walked down the tunnel. A huge part of him didn't want to go yet. And then he was standing on his street, in front of his house, an uncomfortably hot sun not far above the horizon. The tunnel was gone. His own house. There it was. Same as ever. Cole looked at Hunter and remembered him. They used to shoot penalty kicks at each other in the backyard on the bristly lawn. They had home run derbies with wiffle balls. They rode their bikes around the neighborhood and sometimes on trails in the desert. They had shared a bedroom when Cole was smaller, Hunter on the bottom bunk, Cole on top. They had played with action figures together and shot baskets on the little hoop clipped to the top of their door.
I remember you, Cole said.
About time, Hunter replied with a smile.
I knew you were my brother, Cole said. It's just more real now.
The other kids were dispersing. Dalton lingered. Joe patted Cole on the back. Brady stood beside him.
That your house?
Am I staring at it? Cole asked.
You are, Joe said. And you should. I'm going to find Brady's home and then make my way to California.
We can feed you, Hunter offered.
I'm all right, Joe said. Lorenzo gave me a lot of money. I'm glad he took an interest in collecting U.S. currency. You guys go see your folks.
Joe strolled off, holding Brady's hand.
I remember the outskirts just fine, Dalton observed.
Me too, Hunter said.
Let's remind each other, Cole said. Write it down. Talk about it. Kendo didn't have other people. I bet we can keep from forgetting by talking about it.
Maybe, Hunter said.
I should go, Dalton said. See you guys later.
See you, Cole said.
Think it's summer? Hunter asked as Dalton walked away.
Feels like summer, Cole said.
I hope the AC is cranked up.
Think we missed the school year?
Probably, Hunter said.
I wonder what grades you get when your teachers forget all about you.
Straight A's, I hope, Cole said.
Let's go.
They walked up to the porch and opened the door.
Cole, Hunter?
Their mom called.
Yeah,
Cole replied. She came to the entry hall looking just as Cole remembered her.
Where have you boys been?
Cole said.
Dinner was ready an hour ago, she said.
Sorry, Hunter said.
Are you crying, Cole?
His mom asked.
I think I have some dirt in my eye, Cole said.
He stepped forward and hugged his mom tightly.
What's that for?
His mom asked, looking over him at Hunter.
He's been emotional today, Hunter said. Little weirdo.
Mind if I go to my room for a minute? Cole asked.
Go ahead, his mom said.
I'll warm you a plate.
Is Dad around?
Hunter asked.
Chelsea?
They're watching TV, she said.
Cole walked away from the conversation and went down the hall to his room. The door was closed. Behind the door, he found all as he had left it. Exactly. Same junk on his desk. Same clothes on the floor. A film of dust covered everything. He had been gone for some time. Cole knew he had to go see his dad and his sister. He knew he had to go eat dinner. He had to fall back into the rhythms of life, as if he had not been away for months in a strange and dangerous world. For a moment, he stared at his familiar room. His old life felt much more real now that he was here. The outskirts seemed a little more distant, but he could not imagine that he would ever forget. Epilogue. Cole sat down on a bench by a sidewalk on the ASU campus, not far from the Hayden Library. He was in an awkward time between classes. In half an hour, he would head over to the Memorial Union to meet Dalton for lunch. For the moment, he figured he would enjoy the relatively mild day and catch up on some reading. Glancing up, he noticed a beautiful girl walking toward him. There were plenty of pretty girls on campus, but this one was exceptional, tall and slender, with long brown hair and lovely features. He didn't know her, so he tried not to stare, but when his eyes met hers, she smiled, as if she wanted to let him in on a private joke. Cole wondered if he might be sitting in her usual spot. As she approached Cole's bench, he stood.
Hi, Cole, she said.
Hi,
Cole said, delighted she was speaking with him, surprised that she knew his name. Her expressive eyes hinted at a playful mood.
Do I know you?
Her smile warmed.
We were friends when we were younger.
Cole did not see how that was possible. Could he have forgotten those lively eyes? Maybe she used to wear glasses or dyed her hair. He compared her against the neighborhood kids he had grown up with, but came up empty.
How do you like ASU? She asked.
Great, so far, Cole said.
First semester.
Hunter goes here too, she said.
Are you a friend of Hunter's? Cole asked. That would make sense. Hunter hung out with some cute girls.
I like Hunter, she said,
but I'm here to see you." Cole felt a thrill that an attractive stranger was showing him so much attention. She seemed really personable and open. Was she a little familiar, or was it just that she effortlessly treated him like a friend? "Do you go here?" She shook her head. "I'm from far away. I'm just here briefly." "What's your name?" "Want to guess?" "It would take a miracle." Her smile broadened. "You don't remember me at all?" Cole tried. Maybe a girl in one of his classes? Somebody who moved away? "Not really." She looked a little disappointed, just for a moment. "You used to talk about the outskirts." Cole blushed a little. "That was a game I played with my brother and my friend Dalton." "A game?" "You know, sort of a role-playing game, like Dungeons and Dragons, except we made it up. Pretty nerdy, I guess."
"Tell me about it."
Her interest mildly surprised him. "We got really into it for a while. We filled up notebooks with stories. I even used to dream about it." She looked serious.
"Do you think any of it really happened?"
Cole huffed. "I'm not crazy."
"You used to talk about it like it might have been real."
"With you?"
"With me."
Cole gave an uncomfortable laugh. "We acted like it was real. That was the point. In the journals we kept, we wrote about it like it really happened. I can't believe I told you so much about it."
"When did I know you? You never told me your name."
"Mira," she said. "We've met several times, but you don't remember too well."
"Are you teasing me?"
Cole asked. "One of the characters in our game was named Mira, one of the imaginary ones."
"That's funny," Mira said, pivoting away. "I'm glad to see you're doing well."
"Are you going?"
"I should," Mira said. "I'll check up on you again. Promise."
"Wanna keep in touch?" Cole asked.
"I'll be far away and hard to reach," Mira said. "How are you paying for school?"
Cole was a little surprised by the direct question. "I had saved up, but an anonymous donor is paying for me. The same thing happened to Hunter and my friend Dalton, some rich relative, maybe?"
"Sounds like you have people watching over you," Mira said. "That must be comforting."
"Kind of mysterious," Cole said. "I wish I could thank them."
He paused, considering her. "Are you involved in that?"
Mira flashed a smile.
"Maybe a little. Have a good year."
She started backing away.
"I'll really see you again?"
"I promise. And some of the others, too."
"Others?"
"You'll see."
"I'll remember you next time."
"Don't hold your breath."
"I doubt I could forget you now."
Mira stepped forward and took his hand. The contact felt good.
"What matters is I will remember you, Cole. It can be hard to know how you impact people. Somewhere there might be entire kingdoms that will never forget you, where people young and old speak of you with awe and consider your birthday an important holiday."
"That's a coincidence," Cole said. "Today is my birthday."
"No kidding. Happy birthday."
Cole smiled. "You have a big imagination. I bet we would have been friends as kids." Mira released his hand.
"You have no idea."
She backed away.
"Do you have to go?"
"I should."
"See you next time."
"Count on it."
Time Jumpers, Book 5 of the Five Kingdoms series, was written by Brandon Mull and read by Keith Nobbs. It was recorded by Noriko Okabe at Simon & Schuster. Editing, mastering, and post-production by Kessler Media Productions. Time Jumpers, Book 5 of the Five Kingdoms series, was produced and directed by Robert Kessler. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.